Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. If you are ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Ed Up Experience podcast, where we make education your business. Let me turn myself up in my own headphones here. This is Dr. Joe Salustio back with you again. Hey, everyone. Before we get to this episode, I do want to remind you to go to www.edupexperience.com and join your mailing our email list so you can find out about what episodes are coming, things that we have going on. Remember, we are writing a book that's going to synthesize all the topics, themes and innovations that we have uncovered and discovered in our 100 presidential interviews, our first 100. And that'll be exciting. But join our email list or you won't know what's going on and you don't want to get left behind. You know, somebody that's not going to be left behind today is my co-host, my guest co-host today. You know her. You've seen her before. You've talked to her before. She is the incoming executive director for the Alliance for Innovation and Transformation, better known as AFIT. Her name, ladies and gentlemen, Erica Leodis. There's your intro music, Erica. How are you?
I was hoping I would get intro music. Thanks for that, Joe. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excited to have you here. I mean, I'm excited to have you here for a couple of reasons. Number one, we got to do a really cool series from AFIT and your summer session, your summer learning session that you had. And we got to talk to some great people affiliated with AFIT and turn them into great episodes. And number two, you had a great episode yourself as a previous EdUp guest. Do you remember that experience? And, you know, I'm going to ask you, since you've been on and we haven't introduced our guest yet, you get to tell him how the experience is before he comes into the episode. So tell me about how your EdUp experience was.
My EdUp experience was awesome. I was a little nervous going into it, of course, because it was actually my first time appearing on a podcast as a guest. I'm a huge fan of podcasts, but I had never been on one. And I have to say, you and Liz made the experience so much fun. You were so easy to talk to. And before I knew it, our hour together was over. So well, now really great experience.
On you now.
Pressure's I know, on you. I know. And boy, do I have big shoes to fill because, you know, Liz, she's not only such a great interviewer, but she also does such a good job keeping you in line. So it's like a tall order today.
Let me. Well said, Erica, except for the fact that I am now in control of all of the sound effect buttons. So I get to like or dislike what you say. So perhaps this would have been a better one. That could have been a better button there for you.
I think so.
But either way, this is
keep that one handy.
It's already turning into a complete disaster, which is what makes the EdUp experience so special here is that we get to work through these moments. And I am just tickled pink that I have these sound effects all ready to go. And our guest is going to experience one of those sound effects right now. It's something he hears all the time. It's this sound. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, here, get ready. He is the president of Meridian Community College in Mississippi, Dr. Tom Huebner. Tom, how are you doing? Look at that applause for you. It's a standing ovation.
Thank you. They cut off pretty quick.
They cut off. You know, I told them to stop. But as soon as I raised my hand, they stopped.
That's right. Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm excited about being on this podcast. Thank you.
Tom, you're doing great work. We've got a lot of questions for you. And I want to start with one that I think is one of the most interesting parts about you. And that is that as in your ascension to college president, you are somebody that came up in the alternative path to faculty, dean, provost, president, which was the more traditional academic pathway. Right. You were a dean of enrollment, and you did some student service work, and and you walked through the other direction to become president. That's you more unique. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, in some ways it's unique, but in other ways it really wasn't. I actually started as a college professor, and I was a professor for probably half my career, which is over 30 years now. But I was a college professor. I taught communication studies, and I coached speech and debate for many, many years, was involved in an intercollegiate organization that's been around for well over 100 years, and served that particular organization on a national scale. And then I had a president who thought I'd be a pretty good administrator. So he gave me a shot, and I became the director of, at that time, was director of admissions and recruiting, and at a private university. And I did that for a few years, but I missed the classroom. So I went back to teaching as a professor, moved to another institution, private institution, 4 year. And after a year of being a professor and coaching the speech and debate team there, I was asked once again by the president of the college if I would consider administration. And when I decided to go into it the second time, I said, well, I can't, you know, go back and forth. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to be in it for the long haul, as I said. So that's when I became dean of admissions, which included recruiting, and then eventually vice president for enrollment management, then vice president for student services and enrollment management, and then moved to a community college environment where I had the title dean of students, but really I oversaw a lot of different functions of the institution, then became a president. I think I'm in my eighth year as a president now.
What's the biggest difference that you can point out in your time in private versus community college educational experiences?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, what I would say is that when I was at a private institution, or I spent 20 years at private institutions, and I tell folks that, you know, we had to, enrollment was as it is everywhere, but it was particularly fundamental because without students, we had no revenue. And so that became, obviously, I was in that particular realm of higher education, was in enrollment management, and kind of learned that, those skills and that opportunity, you know, that job description. And I think community colleges now are moving into some of the stuff that private institutions were doing back in the day, but realizing that it's a competitive market and students are going to go places because they offer the best opportunities, and those include, in, you know, environmental factors as well as academic programs and all the things that attract a person to an institution. And so we can't just rest on our laurels and just assume people are going to come here because they don't have any other options. Students are looking for the best kinds of institutions that fit them because we're a lot more mobile than we used to be. And so moving my institution into a mindset that embraces our students in a different kind of way has been the primary focus since I've been here.
Tell me what that means, and then I'll shift it to you, Erica, so you can have time to get ready. What does it mean to serve the students in a different way?
Well, okay, so for example,
quantify that or qualify it. Yeah,
right. So people who are in engaged in the community college world will often talk about access to higher education, and access to higher education is obviously very, very important. And so not only do our students need to be able to get, you know, get there, to pay for it, et cetera, but the other component that I think it has to be systematic is engaging our students. So I talk about access being fundamentally important, always will, but also an engagement factor. So we have to, instead of just providing the opportunity, we now have to figure out ways systematically to engage our students, to walk them through difficult times or uncomfortable, you know, processes, and even think about how our processes can be more user-friendly and and force sometimes students into conversations about why are you wanting to drop this course, or, you know, instead of, you know, institutions, I think a few years ago went into kind of a mindset where they wanted things to be efficient. And it's not that we want things to be inefficient. It's just that sometimes efficient is the wrong value for a particular kind of situation. Sometimes efficiency is okay, but really what we really want is we want to force a conversation, or we want to force something relational. And so I think that those kinds of things are really built into, you know, the water they drink at a private institution. But I think it's not been quite as systemic in public two-year higher education. And so there are people who do a great job of that. And so, but I think having the institutional ethos or the mindset be such that we're thinking about the experience of the student and the relational nature of success in a different kind of way. I think that is something that, I mean, and people here at Meridian Community College are embracing it, but that's just kind of the next step for us, I think.
Yeah, it's great to hear you say that, because I think, you know, there are differences, and it's fun to hear it from someone that's played both sides of that, right? There's just a difference in mindset and culture. And Erica, you know a lot about that from your work with community colleges and the innovation, especially that's coming out of community colleges right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I was interested to hear you talk about this relational nature of success. And one of the things I was curious about, Tom, is, you know, what advice would you give to a high school senior who maybe doesn't know what they want to do with their life? And how would you talk to them about the value proposition that a community college can offer to their future?
Well, I would say that I would give the same speech to someone who did know what he or she wanted to do, in the sense that you know, data are pretty clear over multiple years, decades, really, that if a student begins his or her educational journey at a community college, the success rates exceed the success rates of those who begin their journey at the four-year institution. And people often ask me why, and I always tell them it's because typically students are taught by people who are, their job is to teach. And so they're working very, very hard on being great teachers and about the interaction in the classroom. And it tends to be a very kind of encouraging environment. And so, and also it's often more difficult to fall through the safety net. And so that level of, and plus they're often they're, you know, in familiar background or settings. And so with regards to family and friends, et cetera. And so they can make that transition to four-year education much easier. And so, you know, we see our students and who are transferring from here to four-year institutions performing better than the students who began their journey at those four-year institutions. So I always tell people, if you come to Meridian Community College or any community college, but I know about this one, you're going to get that opportunity to have those kinds of relationships that will help you be successful. And here in Meridian, we have something called tuition guarantee. If you graduate from a high school in Meridian or Lauderdale County, Mississippi, and you are a resident of Meridian or Lauderdale County, Mississippi, we invest in you by providing a scholarship that pays for your tuition. And some people like to call it free community college. I always remind them it's not free. Somebody's paying for it. And it's and so we encourage our students to think in terms of appreciating that gift, that opportunity, and giving back at whatever point in their life they can. But and then I appeal to the parents by talking about the success rates of our graduates in terms of jobs, where they go. About one third of our students are university transfer students. One third of our students are in traditional career tech, and one third of our students are in health related professions. We have one of the largest nursing programs in the state of Mississippi, for example, and those students are getting great jobs, and they're doing well when they leave here. And those jobs and those families are, in some cases, transforming. They are contributing in millions and millions and millions of dollars over time. Our graduates are contributing to the tax base, not only here in Meridian, Lauderdale County, but across Mississippi and the southeastern United States. And so I talk about those opportunities and those doors and the cost versus the benefits of staying local. And we have great relationships with our school districts. So, for example, we have hundreds of students who are taking dual enrollment, dual credit courses through us. So we're a known entity. And and so we encourage students that no matter what you want to do, it's a good place to start.
It sounds like a really supportive environment that you've got there at Meridian. And so I'm curious to know, especially with your focus on health studies, what kind of impact did the last year have on your students, your faculty, your staff? How did you support them through the pandemic?
Well, it was obviously, you know, I've got thousands of colleagues who have had to go through the same thing I have in the last, you know, year and a half plus. Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. I kind of chuckle when I think back about the first week, and that, I'll put in parentheses or, quotes, that groundbreaking decision to extend spring break a week in hopes that
it was groundbreaking, right?
Yeah. Like in hopes that we would be okay and ready to return to normal. And little did we know. And, but we, you know, we, like many, had to turn on a dime, and community colleges are often able, when you're talking about innovation, able to do that kind of thing because, for a variety of reasons, we're already out there searching for ways to reach our student market. And so moving online was obviously difficult for some, but institutionally we'd already been doing that, you know, in a lot of ways. And so, it was a bold decision in some regards, forced us to make other decisions, you know, regarding technology and name something. But over the last year and a half plus, my faculty and staff have been able to adapt. I say it like this. The last year and a half has either confirmed, and I use the phrase from my religious upbringing, your calling, or it's caused you to think that maybe you should do something else. It's reinforced our mission as an institution. It's forced us to really filter every decision we make through our mission and how this decision either contributes to or detracts from what we were created to do for this community. So, being able to use that mission filter has been really important. And we've discovered that there are folks that are good people that they're like, you know what, I ain't cut out for this. So, and that's all right. And so we've had some folks that have taken opportunities to go find something else. And we've had other people who, you know, I like to say they were born for this moment. They are teachers, and they're going to nurture, and they're going to communicate, and they're going to teach, and they're going to do what the students need, no matter what the circumstance. And so, you ask any administrator, we can tell stories about things that have happened in the last year and a half that have really, I mean, for me, solidified, you know, what it is we're supposed to be doing. And so it's been pretty awesome, to be honest with you.
Tom, this is the part of the episode where we like to just take a sidestep from higher ed and ask you a really important question. You ready for it?
Sure. Absolutely.
Here we go. For $100 million, Tom, here you go. There's actually no right answer, but tell me just a little bit about you and how I want to learn about you is, imagine that you walk into a room at Meridian Community College every single day. There's a song playing on the loudspeaker around you, and it's your entrance music. What song, Tom, my defines you?
Oh my goodness. You know what? I should have an answer to that. I love the sport of baseball, and I have a son who plays baseball and is going to play at the college level. And he thinks all the time about his walk-up song. So I can't believe I don't really have one.
We can give you to the end of the episode to think about
it. Let me think about that. You know, the only thing I could think of is that sometimes my cabinet members, my VPs here, think of me as Tigger from the Winnie the Pooh series. They say that describes me well. I'm like, is that a compliment? I don't know.
I love it. Well, we'll give you another shot at that. It's funny because I've been asking this question lately just to kind of warm up the guests, if you will. And one of the guests I had on, she referenced an ABBA song. And so everywhere she goes on her campus now, her staff is playing ABBA, following her around everywhere.
Yeah. Jay, I got to be careful about the answer to this question, don't I?
That's right. It really think about it, because, you know, it, and then we had a president come on recently and say, Eye of the Tiger. So, you know, that's kind of cool. Everywhere
you go. Okay. You know, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Any song from Rocky kind of like nails it, right?
It really does. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, Tom, so kind of getting back to what we're talking about in higher ed, you know, community colleges and their place in the world right now have never been more important. We've seen, and you kind of talked about it, you know, and Eric asked, you know, what would you say to a student that's considering community college? In fact, and you know this, so many times the public, or maybe even those within higher ed, have looked at community colleges and said, oh, it's the college's second choice. It was the one I went to because I couldn't get anywhere else. Right. And now that's completely being redefined. Community colleges are at the front end of innovation. There are students looking specifically at community colleges to limit debt and then transfer somewhere else. Talk to me about what that perception looks like in your area. Is it changing? Are you part of that change? How do you guys bring that change and that perception change?
Yeah, so that's great. Mississippi, I think, is unique. We are one of the oldest community college systems in the country. We've been recognized by multiple entities over the, last X number of years as the top community college system in the country. I don't know what that means, but I know that I have lots of colleagues who are creative and innovative and are passionate about their work. I know that I would say that obviously you have some students who are always going to think of you as the backup plan or the second choice or whatever. But it's amazing the number of students we see and have seen for a long time who view us as their first choice, like we're the place they want to go when they complete high school. And a lot of that has to do with the support we receive from our community and kind of our standing in the state of Mississippi. We are the agency or the entity that provides workforce development training on the credit side and the non-credit side. And all of the colleges, including this one, we have very strong workforce development programs where students can either graduate with a certificate or a degree and move straight into the workforce and make great money, or we partner with business and industry to provide unique training opportunities, very customized training opportunities for them in a variety of settings and contexts. And so that really ingrains us with local industry and being fundamentally important. And so in that regard, so we, you know, there are always going to be the students who think of us as the backup plan. I always kind of laugh that some of the folks that are our biggest supporters in the community, who are members of our foundation board, for example, the ones who can tell stories, inspirational stories about how they were transformed here. And then because of that, they, you know, created something great for themselves. And when they did, their children, you know, we're able to go on to the 4-year without coming through here. So I always say they still love and acknowledge us, even though their kids might go on to a 4-year institution, but they still recognize the value of you know, this institution and how it helped contribute to the opportunities their kids have. So we see all kinds of things like that. But the one part that's been curious, I think, to many through the pandemic in particular, you know, people are talking more about us, but enrollment's not increasing. We've, you know, as you probably know, community college enrollment over the last year has been down about 13.5%, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't remember the exact number now off the top of my head, but
yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. So it's been troubling, which also is a testament to our market, the kind of student we typically reach and their hesitancy about coming back to school or, you know, moving back into the workforce. And that's just going to take time. But I get a lot of people who say, I bet your enrollment's bursting. It's, you know, no, actually it's not right now, really. And so, you know, in some ways we're just having to kind of keep things together until we get to a healthier socioeconomic situation.
Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. Every campaign is custom built for your institutional goals while taking into account Glacier's robust knowledge and expertise in recruiting high school students. This comes from over 8 years of experience, over 1,000 campaigns executed, yearly research papers, and quarterly roundtables with high school students. Nobody understands the high school demographic better than Glacier. If you're ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org.
Erica, what are you hearing amongst the membership at AFIT? You hearing the same thing about declining enrollment? Is it turning?
You know, our members are so geographically diverse, Joe, that it really depends. It's kind of on a school-by-school basis where many of them, yes, are seeing declining enrollments, but not all. One of the things, you know, since our membership at the Alliance for Innovation and Transformation is so focused on innovation and transformation, one of the things I'm curious about, Tom, is what do innovation and transformation mean to you? And what role do they play at Meridian Community College?
So transformation obviously is the, you know, the water we drink. So meaning that we think about transformation all the time in terms of why are we here, what we do. And I think we recognize, particularly when we're from a state and a community and a region that is has such a high percentage of people in poverty. And so we can, you know, attest to the value of community college education in terms of helping people achieve the American dream or move into the next, you know, income level or, you know, move into the middle class or however you want to characterize it, you know, so that transformation is fundamentally important. And so that idea drives pretty much everything we do. So we right now are in a process of changing our whole advising process and system and our student success model. And that is built around the idea that we have to figure out a way to intervene in the lives of students in such a way that that we don't become the thing that's keeping them from, sometimes they struggle and we're the first thing that goes. And we're trying to change their way of thinking about that and try to partner our students with resources and with support they need to help them be successful. And so changing the mindset of education is a cool option to education is a is a transformational option, and it's a necessary. I mean, I've got to do this, you know, in terms of our population, and you know, if we can get that mindset moving forward, we'll be good. So transformation is part of what we do every day and every decision we make. Innovation is an interesting word, and I think a lot about that word because I always think, what is innovation? Like, is it a different way of doing the same thing? Is it, you know, sometimes when, you know, your state appropriation is not keeping pace, we use the word innovation to describe our ability to deliver something for less money.
That can be one way to innovate, that's for sure.
Or fewer resources, but manage to somehow figure out how to continue with the success metrics, you know. And so, but sometimes it's innovation is also what's innovative for your institution and for your community. So, I mean, like, we did an analysis of our students who had access to high-speed internet, and the answer was, you know, we still had almost 15% of our students, and we're an urban school. Think about that for a second. We're not a rural school. We're an urban school, and still we had almost 15% of our students did not have access to high-speed internet by virtue of their address. And so, all right, so guess what? We're moving online. What are we going to do about 15% of our students? And if you translate that to a number, I mean, that's that at the time is roughly almost 500 students, you know, and that's huge. And so how do we innovate for that family, for that student, for that particular problem? Now, is that going to be quote unquote innovative on some national scale? No, but it's transformational and innovative for our students who are struggling to even have access to high-speed internet, let alone the other kinds of resources and tools they might need to be successful in a remote environment, learning environment. So, but also innovation is for us is also, you know, developing those programs that that are going to meet a specific need that other people may not have or even think about. So we're always looking for, you know, that opportunity. And community colleges have this flexibility that you don't see at four-year institutions in terms of being able to turn on a dime to get a program up and running. For example, Mississippi just got significant federal dollars and has put a strong emphasis on that issue of increasing high-speed internet access to our citizens. And so I ran into a friend of mine who's on the board of the local electric power association, and he said, y'all need an electric lineman or line workers program. And I said, why? And he said, well, they're going to be laying the wire, the cabling for high speed internet. And I was like, okay, let me see what I can do. Well, we had a program up and running on the non-credit side within a few months. And then now we're transitioning that to a credit program. But that program has a waiting list right now. It has 100% job placement before they even graduate. And it's outstanding. I mean, it's a great program. And we literally got it up and running in about 3 months. And so, it's received support from multiple industries who are hiring those graduates. And so it's just an example of something that we were able to do that was that met a need that we were able to innovate by not bringing it about the traditional way, but to do something a little bit in a different way that met the objective, met the goal, then allowed us to transition to what we think of as traditional. education.
I love that you're able to be so responsive. And I think that plays such an important role in innovation and meeting the needs of today's students, because the world's just moving so fast and their needs are evolving so quickly. So that example is such a great one, that your institution can be so responsive to their needs. So I'm curious, what is your big picture vision for the future?
Oh, goodness. Well, obviously...
That is the sound that's played when the questions are just getting way hard. Erica, you're just dropping missiles on this guy. Okay, Tom, I'm going to we're throwing the flag, but now you got to answer it since you asked it.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to. No, it's so the big vision is obviously we are, you know, doing return on investment analyses of our programs, and we're looking at our market and how those programs can be modified or adapted more strongly to the needs. We're also considering, we've got, a pretty aggressive program. I like renovating facilities instead of building new ones. So we've got some resources, some opportunities to upgrade and modernize. I always laughingly say that if you come into some of our buildings, you have walked it back to the 70s. And so our students deserve to have quality facilities and opportunities like anyone else. Our technology has been upgraded a million fold, and that will have to continue because it's kind of a horse race. But we're also always thinking about better ways to do what we do. And we obviously have technology, but we emphasize the relational nature of what we do. And so, over the next few years, I think you're going to see the creation of some programs, some facility renovations that are fundamentally important to helping us meet the technology needs of our marketplace. And it's important to get community leaders in our facilities to see what we do. We have the Gene Haas Foundation gave us a significant gift, and we have a Haas Advanced Manufacturing Training Facility, and there are 38 in the world, and I think we're the only one in the southeastern part, United States. And so that program is wonderful and awesome, and it's state of the art, and people have no earthly idea that when you want to be in a career tech program, that kid can't do college, so put him in career tech. It's not like that anymore. It's a different kind of environment, and we want to teach kids to work hard and to do well. And by the way, we have an endowment. I mean, this is a community college. We have an endowment for an honors college, and we have over 70 students in our honors college. And we provide,
that's incredible.
Yeah, we have great opportunities. For the Phil Hardin Foundation provides an endowment for that honors college, and so we have that kind of support. And those students become doctors, lawyers, engineers, everything. And so they're top of the heap students. And we want to continue in that mode of not only helping the student who struggles, but also providing opportunities for the student who just needs opportunities or who needs someone to help them with the big vision on their life. So
that's great. That is. And Erica is just asking great questions, I have to be honest. Nice job, Erica. Well done on those questions. They're hard, but they're good.
She should be your co-host.
Oh, yeah. Well, she is today.
I am today.
She is today.
Well,
yeah,
these are the questions worth asking. And this is why I love working with higher ed, because this is the work that changes lives. And it's so inspiring to hear someone like Tom with this great vision and these innovations that are really going to make a difference in people's lives.
We're going to really need to tone down those questions, though, so that mine are better, right? I am the main person here, so my questions have to be better than yours. So we're going to have to talk after the episode. Well, Tom, talk to me about what we missed about Meridian Community College. Is there anything that we need, should have asked you that we didn't ask you? Anything that you want to say, any initiatives you have going on? And number two, what do you see as the future of higher education?
Okay, so anything about Meridian? Well, I mean, I always tell folks, you know, there are 15 community colleges in Mississippi, but we're the only urban community college. And we have great support. We have a foundation that has been innovative and has raised a significant amount of money for scholarships. Our community supports us, which is very, very important for any institution. We're also weird in the sense that we're the only community college in Mississippi that was founded by a municipality. And so we were not part of the quote unquote state system for many, many, many years.
That's interesting.
Until actually fairly recently. We are also the only community college in Mississippi that does not have football. So I'm often asked if we're going to have a football team one day. And I say, no, not, I have no desire for that. But we do have other programs that are outstanding and reputable and well-known. And golly, I mean, if you follow professional baseball, we've had a number of our students go pro, and we've got Corey Dickerson right now with the Toronto Blue Jays is our guy. So we have strong programs in that regard too. Tennis, golf, soccer, basketball, baseball, softball. And I'm sure I'm missing one or two, but they're great. And so those are also transformative for our students in a lot of ways. But higher education, does anyone know the answer to that? I mean, I can tell you that
we've got a lot of people that have given an answer. I don't know what.
I can tell you this. I remember 25 years ago being at a conference at Baylor University and hearing a speaker talk about how, you know, in X number of years, a lot of the schools who were at that conference would no longer exist. And we needed to learn to adapt because everything was going to this online environment. And I don't remember the exact words that were used at the time. And so everyone kind of was fearful and shaking. And then of course in 2020, whenever the pandemic hit, you know, it's how prepared are you? And of course, then we've seen higher education go through, you know, some tough times in the last year and a half, and the number of institutions that are not making it is pretty stunning. But I think higher education is going, obviously that convenience factor is going to be important. It's important for a lot of people, but I am probably more convinced than ever before that the face-to-face is not going away. I mean, I hear it and see it every day, and the desire, and I'm telling you, I'm absolutely convinced that has something to do with the enrollment drops at community colleges, because not everyone is technologically proficient and not everyone can sit behind a computer screen and learn. I think that the face-to-face interaction is important. And I think it's important for a lot of people, but I also think that folks who have not had that kind of access socioeconomically, I think, you know, individuals who come from poverty backgrounds, I think have not had the kind of access. And so I think we're a long way from being able to declare that traditional higher education is dead. I think it's finding itself again, and realizing that technology is absolutely important, but it's not the be all and end all. And so the relational nature of education is important. And I'm techie. I'm looking at three computer screens right now and holding my cell phone. And so I love tech. And
well done.
Yeah, that's not it. And but it's just a matter of realizing that we have to be what our market needs. We have to be what our students need. And we can't just force people into a box they weren't made to be in. So anyway.
I think that's right. Be what the market needs. Market responsiveness. That's, you know, I think differentiates some colleges from others. It's an important a piece of what the future looks like, especially as the consumer continues to have a little bit more leverage than they used to in the past, as their choices have increased exponentially. That's the mic drop moment here at the EdUp Experience, something to take away if you're listening to this episode. Tom, it's been an honor to have you on. I got to be honest, I really love the questions that Erica asked you and what came out from those questions. A lot of relevant pieces in there. I hope you had a good time.
I did. I had a great time. This was exciting. Anytime we can sit and just talk about what we do and how what we do has to be responsive and what the goals and dreams are, I think that's always a fun conversation.
Well, my co-host today has been Erica Leodis. Again, she's the incoming executive director at the Alliance for Innovation and Transformation, better known as AFIT. Erica, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Joe. And thank you, Tom, for all the work that you're doing and for sharing your wisdom with us today. Really appreciate the conversation.
I enjoyed it very much.
Again, your guest today, ladies and gentlemen, has been Dr. Tom Huebner, president at Meridian Community College. Tom, thank you so much. We love what you had to say. There's your outro applause, everybody. And remember one more time to head to www.edupexperience.com and join the email list so you can stay up to date. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just ed-upped.
Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. If you are ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org.